Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50.
Oh,
and
he's Cordero gone.
Patterson is gone. Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown. Cordero Patterson.
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
What's going on? It's X's and O's presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. I'm Paul Allen, joined this week by the coordinators. First, Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Then, after the break, privilege to be joined by defensive coordinator George Edwards. Sorry about the tough luck loss at Buffalo. That was a tough one, wasn't it?
That's as hard as it gets. You know, when you lose a game like that, you go back and look at how many times one play would have made the difference in the game, and those are hard ones. We have to keep going, and we've got a tough team this week in Tampa. They're aggressive front. We got to go out and play our best.
Norv, a fair amount of the talkers off the Buffalo game involved the 4th-and-20 play they converted, and then the first touchdown to Sammy Watkins and the deep play down to the 2 to Chris Hogan. But really, it can also be argued that the game may have been lost when it was 1st-and-goal at the 7, and yet an opportunity to get in there and win the game. And Bridgewater took a couple of sacks. There. I'm not saying he took them, but a couple of sacks took place. Would you agree with that?
Well, if we get a touchdown, it's a lot different there. And even the next series, we have Cordero Patterson on a deep route, and we had a chance to hit a deep route and get points there. We can get a touchdown or get a field goal in that last drive. It would have been completely different. And, unfortunately, we took the sack in there. Teddy checked to a pass, and looking at the front, he was just being too careful and trying to be perfect instead of just running the ball, which we thought we had a good chance with.
Now, with that Cordero Patterson play you were talking about down by the 15, Bridgewater might have overthrown him by an inch, but in watching back that play, the way Cordero came off the line with that inside move on Leotis McKelvin, very aggressive off the line. That's what you guys have been looking for from Cordero all year, right?
Been working hard on that, and he's getting better at that. And we had a chance, and those deep balls, and I really think a gust of wind caught it there at the end. But those deep balls, you're not going to hit every one of them. But we're in a position where we had a chance to make a play.
Offensively, why do you think you are seeing so much man coverage this year?
Well, it ties the two things. You can give the quarterback a lot of different looks when you play man. You can pressure from a lot of different areas when you play man. And then, we've struggled with it. And we need to do a better job of beating the man coverage, getting off it. And then it's what the teams we've played, Detroit and
Buffalo.
Buffalo, they play a lot of man coverage.
What about Tampa? The challenge coming up this weekend. How does Tampa play defensively?
Well, they've been a mix up and down. A mixed bag, and they've struggled early in games and seem to get better as the game goes on. They really had a rough time with Baltimore. Baltimore, those receivers, they did a great job, and Tampa had their best corner out of the game. But it's been up and down for them. They're, in a new program and putting in a new defense, similar to what we're doing.
Norv, when you were a head coach, maybe more specifically with San Diego, given you had the longest run there, what was your philosophy when it came to free agency? Like the meshing free agency with the draft. And I bring it up because Tampa has spent so much money over the last X amount of years in free agency, most recently with Michael Johnson, the right defensive end, and cornerback Alteron Verner. Before that, Vincent Jackson, Carl Nix, the offensive lineman, and so on. What was your philosophy?
Well, I spent 7 years in Washington, and we built a group of guys that was getting pretty good, and then overdid it in free agency, and Wilkerson's and Stubblefield, and then that last year with Dion and Bruce Smith and all those guys. You don't build continuity that way. You're looking for a quick fix. I think kind of what we've done here, and I like what we've done, is you pick a couple of guys that can have an immediate impact. and then you build around the draft and build with your young players. The hardest thing for me, it seems to me, that in free agency, the guys you sign, everyone wants them to have immediate impact, but it usually takes them a year in the new environment, new system, to where they really play at the level they're capable of.
Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, is on X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. Defensive coordinator George Edwards is around the corner. Another one of those changes, you started the season with Matt Cassel. You win at St. Louis. He has a rough game against New England, then he's out for the year in the New Orleans game. Was the main reason Matt started the season is so that Bridgewater could see a lot of it and learn a lot of it behind the scenes and not necessarily have to be thrust into it?
Yeah, I think we're seeing that right now. And, you know, teams are going to challenge you when you're a young quarterback. And when you're struggling in protection like we are, that's inviting them to challenge him even more. Help running the ball the way we did last week is going to help us. We need to continue to be able to make plays in the passing game. So it's people are nervous about pressuring, and they're looking out there and saying, "Hey, if we're not careful, we're going to give up a big play here." And that's what we need to make some big plays.
And it's clear in watching back the games with Bridgewater and really any quarterback, and you know more about this than us because you've seen so much of it. Whether it's Matt Khalil, Charlie Johnson, the offensive line as a unit, the running backs, tight ends, or whomever, if they protect Teddy Bridgewater, you make plays. If they don't, it gets really difficult. I mean, really, is it that simplistic?
Well, it's not that simplistic, but I think you could say that about most quarterbacks. When things are going smooth and they got time to throw, or they're getting the guys are getting open quick and getting the ball out, it is easier. We're watching New Orleans against Tampa, and Drew Brees threw three interceptions against him, and they hit him and pressured him and got after him pretty good, and they made it a struggle, and that's a guy who's played 14 years. So it's an issue for all quarterbacks, and that's why we stress getting back and getting the ball out of your hand quick. Yep. But we're going to have to address it and handle it each week because we're going to see it.
Last couple of games with the starters for the Lions and the Bills, you've seen a combined 6 first-round draft picks. And last week with Jerry Hughes and Marcel Darius, they both splashed pretty well. So did Mario Williams. Michael Johnson, the right defensive end for Tampa. Of course, Coach Zimmer's very familiar with him from his days in Cincinnati. Only 2 sacks this year. What kind of season is he having?
I think he's playing really well. You know, I think people get caught up in the sacks. They've been in games. When they're in close games, he's been able to rush the passer and do a good job getting pressure. Obviously, they got behind early in a couple of games, and then it's hard to create a pass rush when the other team's got the upper hand, got the hammer, as they say. You know, so we're gonna have to be aware of him. Obviously, he's an issue, and big number 93 in the middle is really an outstanding player,
Gerald McCoy.
And we're gonna have to be aware of where those guys are and do a good job protecting it.
A big free agent corner they brought in from Tennessee, Alteron Verner. Your defensive backs coach, the team's defensive backs coach, Jerry Gray, was his defensive coordinator last year. You able to tap on Jerry a little bit for some secrets?
Well, you always do that, but you study the film, and this guy's an outstanding corner. He's a physical corner, and he's doing a good job. He's having a good year for him.
A couple of quickies to close here with Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner. Jerick McKinnon has a couple of 100-yard games. What do you like most about his improvement week to week, Norv?
Well, number one, I like his maturity, because he's come in here from day one and gotten better, and he's approached it like a pro. Number two, he obviously is very elusive. He's got a quick start, and he's a bigger man than he looks. He's a 210-pound physical player that's got great strength.
Do you feel like you're starting to establish an identity with your running game? Asiata for the tough love yardage, McKinnon with some of the flash and maybe the cutbacks?
We're certainly trying to, and I think that 1-2 punch you're talking about, leading with Jerick and then Matt getting in there and grinding pretty good has been a good mix for us.
It seems like Cordarrelle Patterson, from a route running standpoint, to continue off what we talked about earlier, and just from a professionally growing up standpoint, it seemed like last game was pretty good for him, despite some meager stats outside of the touchdown. Is that accurate?
He's working hard at it, and we're not as far away as it looks sometimes. Like I said, we had the deep ball. We're close on. He's open a couple of times, and the ball's going somewhere else. We just got to get over the hump in terms of our confidence and then get a little momentum going. You know, the thing I tell people, and they ask me about Teddy, they ask me about these guys, you know, when we went out and played against Atlanta, it was eye-opening because Teddy made all the throws you need to make. He had great presence. He had great poise. He was protected extremely well. When he wasn't protected well, he showed great escapability because it wasn't three or four guys. And that's the exciting thing to me. And then the guys you've talked about keep growing. That's the thing that gets me excited. And knowing that he's capable of doing those things, we just got to continue to get better around him.
Thanks, Coach.
Awesome.
Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. It's X's and O's presented by Xfinity on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity. No head coach Zimmer this week. Instead, we have the coordinators. You just heard from Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. And now we are happy to welcome in George Edwards, defensive coordinator for the Vikings. But first, we want to remind you to join me and Paul Charchi on Friday morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Plymouth for a Friday football feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN. Hello, Coach Edwards. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Pretty well. Here we are on a Wednesday evening. The Buffalo Bills game's in the rearview mirror for you. It probably was on the rearview mirror by the time the plane landed from Buffalo because you had to start getting ready for Vincent Jackson and Rainey and Doug Martin and that running game and everything. But still, like I said to Norv Turner, top this show, tough loss at Buffalo, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, anytime a game comes down to the end, which a lot of games are decided by three or less points in this league, you know, from week to week. So, you know, coming out on the other end of it is tough, but you have to move on, just like you said.
You know, and watching back that game-winning touchdown to Sammy Watkins and in hearing Coach Zimmer closely earlier in the week talk about Xavier Rhodes potentially should have been on the outside of Watkins with Harrison Smith to the inside to get a little help there. That's a shame because Xavier played so well for so long in that game and has come so far against guys like Julio Jones and what he did in that game, but it just shows you it truly is a game of inches.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We were talking about that earlier in our meeting, and it, you know, every week it boils down to that. It is a game of inches, and you know, the team that, you know, makes the least amount of mistakes and, you know, goes out and executes and makes the plays they run, those are the teams that usually win from week to week. So that's the one thing we're continuing to work on, is just being consistent in everything that we do and just try to keep improving on that from week to week.
Let me ask you a question about Robert Blanton. Maybe the stupidest question you get all week. Is he more of a strong safety than a free safety? And is he having to play free safety here right now simply because of the way the roster shakes out?
Yeah, the way we play our safeties, we pretty much, you know, train them left and right because formationally you can end up one side or the other. They can change strength of motion. So from that aspect of it, we kind of go in and ask those guys to kind of learn both positions as we go through. There are some things, you know, man coverage wise we can do to kind of subside some of that. But for the most part, because of, you know, all the different formations and shifts and motions and all those things we get from week to week, you don't want the safeties back there trying to switch sides and that kind of thing. So
yeah, the reason I bring it up the way I do is that, you know, Robert hits hard, mm-hmm. you know, and Robert's relatively fast.
Right.
But then you watch a play like when Captain Munnerlyn covers up Sammy Watkins beautifully on that first touchdown,
right.
and then he lets him go a little bit.
Right.
I'm just thinking about that safety running across the end zone, and right as Watkins gets it, boom,
right.
just nailing him. Or the guy down at the 2-yard line, Chris Hogan,
right.
where Xavier did the best he could. And here's Robert, you know, right. but just, again, not getting there in time to nail him. And I'm just wondering, is that like a work in progress for him to play like that?
Well, I think, again, it boils down to what we're asking him to do, you know, coverage-wise. On those two plays, we're in two totally different coverages. One, we're in cover three, where we've got the safety down in the box and the other safety's in the middle of the field. Being that tight to the end zone, he's really not going to be able to get to that.
Yeah.
Where if you're in a split safety coverage now, you know, to the strong side of it, depending on what the formation is, to whether he's reading from 2-1 or if he's working from 2-3. So each of those situations vary a little bit differently. And I think, you know, for what we were asking him to do in that, on those series, I think he was handling what he was supposed to handle during that call.
Having Chad Greenway back, what did that stabilize?
Well, I think what you get with Chad is a very consistent football player, you know, play in and play out. He's a guy that, you know, is going to be where he's supposed to be. He does a great job of helping with the communication inside and underneath with all the routes and stuff that we pass. So, you know, having him back there, I think that kind of helps underneath with all those pass offs and helps just anticipating a guy that's, you know, has the experience that he's got, just playing defense in this league for as long as he has, just anticipating what's happening and, you know, transferring from what we took from the classroom to the practice field and into the game. I think you could see him coming out and, you know, did a good job this week for his first game back.
George Edwards, Vikings defensive coordinator on X's and O's, provided by Xfinity. The rookie from UCLA, Anthony Barr, does he have a natural ability to identify screens and go blow those things up? Because he's really good at it.
Hey, he really has done a tremendous job for us thus far this year, you know, playing the screens. You look at it, we go back and look at our self-scout on it, and a lot of times he's the number one guy at the point and sometimes the only guy at the point. But has finagled and found a way that if he doesn't get the guy down, at least he's, you know, holding it up until the cavalry can get there as we're pursuing the football. So he's done a nice job against the screens this year for us.
For Anthony, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. That tackle for loss he had in the Buffalo game was his first non-sack tackle for loss. Getting those numbers to be bigger, how does that happen?
Well, again, just like we talked about with Everson rushing the passer and worrying about the number of sacks and that kind of thing, it goes back to what we're doing schematically. If he'll just continue, they will come. The more we keep using them and utilizing them in different ways that we are, they'll keep coming. Those numbers will continue to improve as we go out throughout the season.
The Vikings defense this year, dramatically better than it was last year. And I know you have nothing to do with last year, the personnel, the calls, the games, whatever. But nevertheless, despite the 2-5 record, you know, for guys like me and those of us who have been here year after year, it's a treat to see the way some things are developing this year. What makes you prideful about this defense at this stage? What do you really like through 7?
Well, I think the perseverance. These guys, they come in, you know, each week and they work hard. They're working together. They're realizing that it's everybody has a part, and for us to be successful as a whole, everyone's got to do their part. And from that aspect of it, you can really see that coming together and starting to work together and understand, you know, this job is just as important as that job. So from that aspect of it, we think guys have bought into what it is that we're trying to do, and they're going out and they're executing. You know, we feel at a pretty good level each week.
Linval Joseph had maybe his best game of the season in the Lions game, and Sharif Floyd in the Bills game was in the backfield a fair amount, generally taking advantage of left guard Cyril Richardson. Are those two coming together the way you want them to come together?
No doubt about it. And I think, you know, you add Tom in there, you add Shamar in there, where they're rotating guys, where they're staying fresh throughout the course of the game. I think that's another big factor. And I think Coach Patterson's done a great job of getting those guys to improve as we've gone through the season. I think you can see as far as their run, as far as getting pushed in the pocket versus the pass, I think you can see how they've improved. And we just continue to improve and, you know, trust different guys in there, working at the different times, and from that aspect of it, I think we're getting the most out of their ability, and they've shown the ability to be able to improve from week to week.
Defensive tackle Shamar Stephan plays a lot. 7th round pick from UConn. A, why did he go in the 7th round? And B, what do you like about his game?
I have no idea why he went in the 7th round. I'm glad we got him, no matter what round he went into. And the thing I like about his game, he is so consistent. Fundamentally, technique-wise, you can't ask that more of a rookie to come in here and be as technique and fundamental sound as he is play in and play out. And he's just been consistent all through the offseason, all through training camp, now in games. It's not too big for him. So from that aspect of it, you know, we've been pleased with where he's at right now.
Thanks for the time, Coach,
right,
and have a wonderful evening. Thank you. That's George Edwards, defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com joined shortly for an adversarial update. But first, we invite you to join host Mike Musselman along with Vikings long snapper Cullen Leffler for Vikings Country tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, at the Lookout in Maple Grove. You could win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the tropics in Cancun. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. And as mentioned, we bring in Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. He's the content coordinator, and he's nice enough to join us for X's and O's presented by Xfinity. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're going to have a team coming off a bye, and you never quite know what to expect when a team that you're facing is coming off a bye. They get a week to rest and relax, and that's a sword that cuts both ways. I think, Paul, you can say, oh, they're going to be rusty and didn't play for a week, or you can say, oh, they're going to be rested and charged up and ready to go. The one thing you do know about a team coming off a bye is they've had some time to self-scout and analyze themselves and pick up on trends and try and fix some flaws. So you look at the tape and you study it and you try and do the normal things you do to an opponent, but you also have to go into the game recognizing that they're going to come out and look a little different perhaps. So, but that might be good for the Vikings because the Vikings are not at a place right now where they can sit there and say, hey, we're going to prey on these weaknesses from the opponent. The Vikings are at a stage where they have to look at themselves and fix their own issues before they can start focusing on what to attack on the other team. So I think that actually works out well for the Vikings this week. And for the defense, the Vikings defense just has to keep doing a lot of the stuff it's been doing the last few weeks, being very good on third down, creating turnovers from last week. And then, of course, offensively, we got the ground game going a little bit. Maybe that'll lead way to the passing game getting going as well.
It'll be great to see Buccaneers defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, yeah, the former head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, led the team to the playoffs for one game, lost his starting quarterback in that game, and eventually lost to the Green Bay Packers. But nevertheless, in my 13 years of calling Vikings football, I can't remember too many people widely accepted and loved and a person for whom the majority of people pulled to succeed than Leslie Frazier.
I agree with you. It's he's a people person. He knows how to have a normal relationship with someone, and you don't get that a lot with coaches in this industry. And it's no knock on coaches, but they are so deep in what they're doing that you don't expect them to really remember things about you. But I remember being at the combine in February, Paul. We're sitting there in Indianapolis, and the world is spinning fast. It's the center of the NFL universe. I took some time out and I went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers suite and went there and visited Leslie. And, he asked, hey, how's your wife Allie doing? How is your daughter Isla doing? He remembers things like that. And you don't expect that from a coach, but that's who Leslie Frazier is. He's a great person and he's been a coach for a long time. And I know his defense was much maligned toward the end of his tenure, but you don't survive in the NFL for as long as Leslie has. You don't become one of Tony Dungy's disciples, so to speak, by not knowing what you're doing. So Leslie Frazier and Lovie Smith know what they're doing, and it's going to be a pretty stiff challenge for the Vikings offense.
Michael, it looks like a winnable game. Thank you for your time.
Okay, see you, Paul.
Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. We thank Norv Turner and George Edwards, the coordinators for the Minnesota Vikings, Norv handling the offense and George the defense, for joining us on X's and O's, generally with Mike Zimmer, and every week presented by Xfinity. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. The executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. We thank the producers for their assistance this week, Jay Nelson from the VEN and Eric Nordquist from FM 100.3 The Fan. For all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings and the flagship KFAN, I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to X's and O's presented by Xfinity on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Mondays are no good.